is ESPN Chicago, WNVP, WTBC, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
This is Tyler and Shay. Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. Chicago. Always streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
Check this out.
Good morning and welcome on in. It's Tyler Aki and Shay Norling. Quick 30-minute sprint for you here on ESPN 1000. Don't forget you can watch the show on YouTube and always take us on the go with the ESPN Chicago app. And Shay, AK, finally got off his ass and made himself a little bit of a deal this week. That was the breaking news earlier in the week on Thursday as Josh Giddey and Alex Caruso were swapped one for one. I think a lot of Bulls fans a little upset there weren't picks thrown in there as well, especially when you see some of the reporting that was done, and not just around now, but also around the trade deadline and the extremely high asking price that was reportedly out there for Alex Caruso. And the Bulls reportedly, according to Jake Fisher, asking for as many as 4 first-round picks for Alex Caruso. Good luck. Good luck in that venture, AK, especially with the limitations that you have in terms of acquiring draft capital in with the modern rules and in the NBA. But this is a move that I think has sort of been panned a little bit. I'm actually pretty in favor of this for the Chicago Bulls. And I feel like I might be on a little bit of an island in this regard. How do you feel about it?
I don't hate it. I think it makes sense for both sides. I think, like, if you're the Thunder, you pick up one of the better role players in the league, a guy who is known as a defensive stud and actually better on the offensive side as far as like a connectivity role goes than people would give credit for in Alex Caruso. And if you're the Bulls, you got younger. There is the issue of you probably have to immediately extend Josh Giddey because he's rookie scale eligible this summer. But it's you get younger if you're the Bulls. You get a kid, I think, has the third or fourth most triple doubles for a player under the age of 24 in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Giddey's a good player. He's shown that he can score at a high level before he was relegated to the bench for the Thunder in the playoffs. So I think it's good for both sides. I think the problem is, and the reason it's getting panned, is less because of the what you got back and more because if you traded Alex Caruso in February and ownership had allowed them to do that, you would have gotten a lot more than you just got for Alex Caruso.
I get that. But what are you really getting with draft picks that include picks in this year's draft?
Yeah, I think it's a tough thing to look at because this year's draft is so bad.
Yes.
Based on all of the reporting.
It's being viewed as the worst draft in NBA history relative to the competition and the skill level of the league. It is the worst draft in NBA history. That's why I'm not mad about no pick. Now, you want to say, okay, they didn't get any future picks out of it when you're dealing with the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have stockpiled these things like they are going to war. I can get behind that. But for not getting a pick in this Josh Giddey trade for this year, I'm not all that bent out of shape for it because I'm not overly enthused by anything in this draft. Now, every draft has a guy, right? But what were you going to get out of the Oklahoma City Thunder pick-wise? Probably stuff that's a little bit shelved off for later.
Yeah, I just think you could have gotten some of it if you were willing to make this move in February. And it doesn't sound like Oklahoma City wasn't interested in moving for Alex Caruso then. Presti's always wanted him.
Yeah.
He matches the Presti mold. He's a guy Presti's targeted.
His coach has, or the Thunder coach has coached Alex Caruso when he was in the G League.
I think it really just is the framing of you did this later than you should have, which is, look, the LaVine trade that seems like it's coming this summer based on all the reporting, and that might be the next move, the next domino to fall in this process for the Bulls. You are not going to like the return.
No.
If you're somebody who thought LaVine should have been traded 2 years ago, like I am, you're not going to like what the Bulls get back. They're going to get dead bodies, bad money, and they're going to shorten the term that they are in cap hell. That's it. And I think that's where the framing of this becomes negative. My question would be, have we been a little too hard on AK in not making deals? Because it sounds like he might have been a little handcuffed. And, like, I don't know that it's his fault necessarily that Caruso had to be traded now. If it's true there was a mandate from ownership, mm-hmm. you couldn't do it in February because you had to make a push for the playoffs, had to keep the lights on at the United Center. Have we been a little too hard on AK and Eversley and not hard enough on the ownership group?
Well, I think we've been plenty hard on the ownership group for the pitfalls and the cheapness that has come with...
Yeah, not getting in the luxury tax.
That stuff, and I mean, but not spending anything on the baseball team.
Refusing to allow your general manager to trade a player at a time where it made sense to do so, and then you get half of the return when you eventually allow him to do it the following summer. That's a new wrinkle.
It is. I think that it's kind of twofold here, where there's still other moves that you can make. This team has still drafted very poorly for where it is, and that falls on AK.
Yeah,
no doubt
absolutely.
About that. But on the flip side of that, yeah, and it's the way I always kind of view Jerry general managers, because there is definitely a limitation to what AK and Eversley are allowed to do. There was definitely a limitation to what Rick Hahn was allowed to do. There's definitely a limitation to what Chris Getz is dealing with right now. And that's why it's never totally their fault, but there is still things that you can do. Listen, it takes a really, really, really good general manager to win under Jerry Reinsdorf. That's just the way it is, because the way that you are limited in spending with the budget and all of that, and the push for the playoffs because you are in Chicago, it's going to be a push to try to get in, especially when you're the Chicago Bulls, who are one of the most storied franchises in the league's history, all because of one guy, but you have that pedigree behind you. There's a push to go, and you have the biggest stadium in the NBA. There's a push to fill those seats, and guess what? They do. For better or for worse, they fill that arena night in and night out. And I look at all the limitations that are put on AK. Sure, are we hard on him? Yes. But it also comes down to there's other parts of the job that require him to go out and make moves and do better than what he's shown so far. There was a mandate. If there was this mandate out there that you have to go for it, well, this kind of feels like a desperate move. I'm not saying it's not one that might work out for the Bulls, but it does wreak a little of desperation
here. Yeah.
Because you went out and got a younger guy, I think bought lower on him, given that he's going to be entering his age 22 season. He was the sixth overall pick 3 years ago.
And he's at the decision point with the extension.
Yes.
That comes this summer.
And that's a small market team as well that they're dealing with there. Not that they haven't had an appetite to spend in the past, because they have had superstars go through. Not saying that he's a superstar, but there are other superstars or very good players on that Oklahoma City team. I just look at this giddy move is that it's something that reeks of desperation, but desperation doesn't always not pay off. There's still a chance that this works out for the Bulls, and I'm higher on it than most, because the timelines of this trade far more fit what the Bulls need than if they were to hang on to Alex Caruso.
Well, that part of it is true, but does it match if you're going to trade LaVine for dead money and try to speed up how quickly you get out from underneath the LaVine contract? Does moving for Giddy and extending him now match the timeline there?
I think it's part of building for it, because you're going to get rid of LaVine for peanuts. And when that comes down, when everything comes to a boil there with Zach LaVine, probably not going to get a whole heck of a lot of assets for the present team. And you're going to probably have to eat it for about a year. And unfortunately, it's a year where you don't have your draft pick. I believe it's lottery protected, or there is some sort of protection on there. So you have to be really bad, which this team's certainly capable of doing. But there's still some guys that can play on this team. Kobe White proved last year that he can play. Ayo Dosunmu, I thought, took a significant step in the right direction next year. DeMar DeRozan, it seems like, is going to be back on this basketball team for whatever reason. And Alex Caruso, albeit a very high-caliber role player and does what a team needs at about as good of a level as you can ask for, But this team has no space for Alex Caruso on it.
No, that
absolutely
part of it is
none.
True.
Why not take a flyer on someone like Josh Giddey, who may end up being a very good player in this league? I'm not saying he's a multi-time All-Star, but I think it also kind of shows you what they think of Lonzo Ball and the future there, because a lot of what Josh Giddey does can fill the void left by Lonzo Ball.
Well, and he's shown an ability to take some pressure off of like a guy like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander when he was playing MVP caliber basketball and would draw significant gravity from a defense. You've seen Giddey at times in Oklahoma City able to take the pressure off of SGA to do all the work and take some of the load on. So, again, I don't think it's a bad trade. For what you're going to get for Alex Caruso right now, this is about as good as you could expect. I just wonder if, and look, Giddey's not getting a max extension. He's not getting anywhere close to that. It'll be some kind of compromise if he's willing to sign right now. And maybe you end up with a discount kind of deal as he gets more responsibility on what I think will be a bad team in Chicago. I wonder if this means they aren't going to sign DeMar DeRozan, because I also think that would be a bad move. Like, I just make the timeline clear for me. Mm-hmm. When you trade LaVine, I've got to see you get future assets. Maybe it'll be like second round picks. Get something and take on some really bad money. And don't sign DeMar. Let's move on. Get yourself out of cap hell and let's start fully rebuilding this. Just rip the Band-Aid off and accept you're going to have to be bad. I'm worried a little bit that this is part of still, like, we can retool, not rebuild, and I don't think that's an option for the Bulls.
I'm with you there, and that's where the DeMar DeRozan decision looms very large, because that's a piece that maybe you could put off on a sign-and-trade and find yourself getting a future draft pick out of something like that. Because DeMar DeRozan can still play in this league. He is still a valuable player in the NBA. But I'm looking at a team right now that's stuck in the, not even in the middle, like just the bottom tier of the middle. And this is a move that I think gets you a little bit closer to where you are. But, I mean, is AK going to see the end of a Josh Giddey extension? Which, you don't do this move unless you're looking to extend Josh Giddey.
There was a secret extension supposedly for Mark Eversley. There maybe was a secret extension we know there was a secret extension for AK and Billy Donovan. So it feels like they're going to be here a while. Feels like there's some level of loyalty to that front office. I'm not concerned about them getting moved out of here very quickly. It just feels like everybody over there is kind of happy with what's going on. And I would like to see the timeline look a little more clear than it has.
312-332-3776. Bulls fans, how you feeling about the trade for Josh Giddey? Smitty's in Palatine. What's up, Smitty?
Yeah, I feel good about it. I know we're losing Caruso, a great defensive player, but basically, if you shoot 50% from two, that's a good percentage. So from three, if you shoot 33%, that's like shooting 50% from two. So I know people, obviously Caruso's shooting 40% or so from three, but Giddey's shooting 33%, it's like shooting 50% from two. Secondly, defensively, Giddey is not as good, obviously, as Caruso, but he's a much better passer, and he's 21 years old. You're not going to go and do anything with Caruso. And last, he was a sixth pick in the draft, 2 years ago?
Three.
So people are talking about the 10th. You know, that we didn't get a first round or a draft pick this year for Caruso. We're basically getting a top 10 pick for Giddey. So I like it. I think it's good. I think he's going to get better. He's only 21 years old. He can pass the ball. I love the way he can pass the ball. He's going to replace Lonzo. I'm good with it.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Smitty. Appreciate it. Listen, you take the off-court stuff out of the Josh Giddey equation, and to be honest, I mean, Terrence Shannon's Jr. is in this draft, too.
You swung with a wiffle ball bat on that one, the off-court stuff, huh?
Well, I mean, Terrence Shannon Jr. is in this draft, too, right? Where's Josh Giddey going in this draft if he were to enter it right now and you don't see any of the stats? This guy was the sixth overall pick in 2021.
If I don't see any of the stats?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just keep hearing that this is the worst draft in NBA history. I would imagine that he would go...
He's like a top three pick.
Yeah, high. It just... I'm not hurt about not getting a first-round pick back this year. I'm a little annoyed they didn't get a first-round pick back in a future year, but they weren't ever going to. Maybe they could have gotten that if they'd been willing to move at the trade deadline and a desperate team would have offered you something, probably non-lottery, but at least you would have had an additional asset. And I think that's where all of the negative framing is. Just the fact you did it later than you should have, and the value you got back was probably cut in half. And look, I get the 33% from three is 50% from two, but Josh Giddey doesn't shoot threes. It's
no,
not
he
just
doesn't.
That he doesn't shoot them efficiently. He doesn't pull up ever.
The one thing about that, though, he's 21 years old. In the NBA, you can teach guys to shoot threes.
Yeah, and you're an infant.
And I mean, he's an 81% free throw shooter. That's usually a good barometer. You want to look at a player's free throw shooting to determine whether or not they'll be able to be a viable three-point shooter in the future. And he's a pretty good free throw shooter. So there is something there.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, look at some of the steps that were made last year. Even with a guy like Caruso, who has never been a prolific three-point shooter over the course of his career, but you bring in Peter Patton last year and he goes up 4%. You look at the spikes that Kobe and Io took last year of shooting from three. I think bringing a Peter Patton in to help some of these guys with shooting as from the assistant coach role, you saw drastic improvement in a number of areas. And I think that when you're 21 years old, you can learn how to shoot. I mean, what was it? Brooke Lopez never shot a three for the longest time, and now it's one of the biggest strengths of his game.
But you better. Like, if you're going
to... For sure.
That is the future of the NBA. And you don't have to look any further than the team that just won the title. They shot almost half of their field goals from the three-point line. And even if you're going to go 40%, like, if you can shoot 40% with 50% of your attempts coming from three, you're going to beat teams. You're going to win more games than not. In fact, you might win 64 games because you're just going to outpace everybody you play against. That's the way the NBA is going. It started with Golden State and Steph Curry. Boston took it to another level. Mm-hmm. And if you want to compete in this league, you got to be able to shoot. So that's the one concern. Like, the free throw shooting for Giddey's gone up, but he doesn't shoot a ton of free throws. He's not a big foul drawing guy. It's less than two a game. Not that he's playing huge minutes either or massive usage on a team with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander,
right.
But the point stands, like, he's not getting to the free throw line a bunch. He doesn't attempt threes. So it would be 3 years in, his fourth season, to just become like a sharpshooter would be a surprise.
No, he's not going to jump to 40% next year. I would be very shocked by that as well. It is alarming, though, when you would watch Thunder games and he is standing out there along the three-point line and his defender sagged off 8 feet on him. That's the one thing that concerns me is that the shots that he is getting are wide open practice shots.
Yep.
But it's something that you can hopefully correct if you're the Bulls. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, talk a little bit of basketball. I did have parade FOMO yesterday. I get parade FOMO when there's a city that puts on a good parade, like it looked like the Boston Celtics did yesterday. I'm envious of that. I want that back here. Because we haven't had one since 2016.
A parade here would be so fun.
And it was the seventh largest gathering of humans in recorded history. Like, that's the last parade we put on for a sports team in this city. The Blackhawks parades were epic. I wasn't alive for the Bulls parades, but I'm sure they were a fantastic time. So
it's one thing, man. When this town's teams are good, these people will die for them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And it needs one. We've been waiting long enough for a parade in this city. All right, when we come back, I had the day from hell on Thursday. I want to run you through that and tell you a little bit about what took place.
I know nothing about this. I'm very excited.
You're in the dark on this. All right, that's all coming up next.
Welcome back to Tyler Rocky and Shai Norling. We're back on ESPN Chicago.
Thanks to Kev Bo for producing today's show. Welcome, Kev.
It's good to see you on a Saturday morning.
Yeah. So glad to be here.
Wow.
I can tell.
Jeez.
Elated.
Any Josh Giddey thoughts?
I like the move.
It's interesting. You're playing his anthem. What'd you do that for?
Strictly coincidental.
All right. So I had the day from hell on Thursday. Thursday. So I was on a trip with my girlfriend. We went out east to go see her family, go see my mom out in the swamps of New Jersey. And we also spent some time in New York City, too. We stayed in New York City. And I was reminded once again why it is the absolute worst place on planet Earth. So, all right. Everything's going swimmingly. First couple of days. We drove out there because she needed to get her car registered. She just got a new car lease. So she needs to get it registered in New Jersey. So we're like, all right, you know what? We'll bite the bullet. We'll make the drive out there. It really isn't an awful drive. It's about 12 hours. But we decided to rip straight through it instead of stopping somewhere along the way. So we go out there Monday first thing, and our plan is to drive back Friday first thing. We go out there, no issues. Have a blast the first couple of days. Thursday rolls around, and like a bat out of hell, New York decides to take a bite out of me. So literally.
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 You don't seem to be missing any pieces.
Well, I wake up. So Thursday, and this is the thing now with remote work too. Everyone does these vacations where they're on the road and they work while on vacation because you can because you're remote. So she decided to work on Thursday and wanted to go to her parents' house to do it. So she has to cross over to New Jersey to do that. So she goes to New Jersey, like first thing in the morning, like 7 a.m. goes over. It's whatever. All right. So I'm sitting there. I'm sleeping in a little bit later, wake up, go shower. And then I come back to the bed and I notice there's these like red spots.
Oh no.
On the bed.
Oh no.
And I start looking for the signs of bed bugs.
Oh no.
And everything is sort of adding up to this being bed bugs. So, first of all, I'm handicapped right now. My left hand is not supposed to lift more than 1 to 2 pounds. She's in New Jersey. So I have to rally up the whole room and move everything to a new room while they inspect the room. So we've got that looming here. All right. I'm moving everything. Everything's in a new room. We've moved rooms.
Dude.
And...
That's not enough. You got to burn the hotel down.
There is panic setting in across the river at this point in New Jersey with her. And rightfully so. Like, it's not anything you want to deal with while you're on vacation. So we're dealing with that. And it's just like, all right, what am I going to do today? Because I was like planning to go see friends. I'm like, I'm not going to potentially invite a new species into the confines of your lovely home. So I'm just going to walk around the city. And so I would go, and it's 95 degrees out there. I'm like, this is the worst. I can't live here, all right?
It's going to be 95 here today.
I know, but it's a different 95 there with those buildings.
Okay.
And just, there's a trillion people on the streets at all times as well in New York.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
That's the other part of it. We get, she texts me, and she's like, hey, do you, because we were going to do dinner over there with all of her family and stuff like that. She texts me, hey, can you come over a little bit earlier. We'll wash some of the clothes and stuff like that. So, because I'll like bag everything up. Can you come over a little bit earlier? I was like, yeah, no problem. And we filed the report with the hotel and stuff like that. I go to Penn Station. All of NJ Transit is down.
Oh, no.
And for anyone that's been following, or maybe you live in New York and you're listening on the ESPN Chicago app, NJ Transit has been an absolute bleep show this week. It's been down for hours upon hours. It hurt us on Tuesday. We were trying to go to New Jersey again, and NJ Transit was down because of overhead lines that were, it was like power outages of overhead lines. So NJ Transit's down. I have no choice but to get an Uber. Uber at rush hour in New York City. It took me 90 minutes to go 2 miles. I'm sitting in an Uber for 90 minutes, and we have not moved. And I'm about to get out, because I'm frustrated at this point. I'm about to get out and try to find an alternate path, because I have to make it to dinner over across in New Jersey. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to get out here. And then my driver's like, buddy, the Holland Tunnel is right there. It's probably from me to the Walgreens there. He's like, if we can get there, we're good. And I'm like, you know what? I've sat in this Uber for this long. Why not? Like, I'll just wait it out. We wait it out. We go. It gets to a point where he goes, I need to stop for gas. I don't think I've ever, because we've been waiting for 2 hours. It took 2 hours to go 10 miles. We've been waiting in this car, and he's like, I need to stop for gas. He goes, that's another thing, too, about New Jersey. We have to wait for the freaking gas attendant to come out because they're incapable of pumping their own gas.
Yep. It's illegal.
It is illegal here or in New Jersey, and then I think in Oregon.
Yep.
So I don't think Charlie Bevins has ever pumped gas before either.
Do you think he knows how?
This could be good content. Chardog pumps gas. It's
the simplest thing ever.
No shot.
All right. I finally get there after a 2 hour and change trek to go very minimal distance. And she comes out to greet me. It's a giant family gathering inside that house. She comes out to greet me and goes, I just want to warn you right now. Remember that Christmas episode of The Bear? That's what's taking place in my house right now.
No, I would have gone home. I would have going through what you went through with the bed bugs. One, I would have burnt my suitcase. Everything I owned would have been torched. I would have just figured something out. I would have burnt the hotel to the ground. I would have probably burnt the Uber that was sitting in traffic.
Yeah.
And then I would go home. I would not walk into The Bear.
So I walked in, and it was her aunt and uncle were fighting about the most nonsensical thing, about a couch that was had to be removed from the second floor to the first floor to outside of her aunt's workplace. And it was just the most ridiculous argument I've ever heard in my life. And it literally was like walking into The Bear. Meanwhile, though, she's got got a goddaughter and then two other cousins there, too. And they're like the girl on the swing with the fire going meme.
Yeah.
Where everything's fine in their world. They're running around and stuff like that. And everything's all right, but the fire is going on in the background, and they're just playing around having a great time. Like, nothing's wrong.
Yeah, I don't know if I could have done that. I don't know if I would have had the mental fortitude to go through a family fight that's not like your girlfriend's family.
Well, that's the thing, is he's taking the family Gallup poll within the house as well. Like, what do you think? What do you think? And here's the funniest. Here's the funniest part of it all. I walk in the door. He goes, Tyler, sit down. I need your thoughts on this. And they're just going at it, yelling at each other back and forth. And they want my opinion on this.
Nope.
And the fight got too intense that they never got around to getting my opinion. And I've never been happier to sit out of an argument.
That's a win for you.
It was one of the greatest finaglings of my life.
You drew the short straw. You can't weigh in.
Anyway, bed bugs turned up negative. So,
thank God.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a horrifying experience. That's like on the worst fears shortlist of bed bugs at your hotel.
Yeah.
Because you just got to like ignite the room.
Yep. All right. That's going to do it for us. We'll talk to you next week. CDGA Golf Show is coming up next.